Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on this broadcast today. An imperative study, I believe, and we'll be able to just scratch the surface on the breadth and the depth of and the seriousness of this subject, asking the question, will the Christian go through the tribulation? You need to ask the question, what is the tribulation for? What is the intent? Why will God pour out his wrath on a world? And if he is pouring out his wrath, his thumos — word wrath is the Greek word thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, means his white hot anger. Is God angry with the Christian? Does God have a reason to be angry with the Christian? Or what about the wrath of God? Is it going to be poured out on a Christ-rejecting, Bible-hating, God-denying society? Or will the Christian be involved in that? I believe we have David on the line. David, go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for taking my call. I had a comment and a question about what you were speaking of earlier in the show about, this preacher that is encouraging people to hide out and store up. And it seems to me that in most cases when people are encouraged to hide out and store up, that is kind of leading into a cultish area. And if you look at the history, most of the cults are doing just that. And my question is there an opinion in the Bible about that? And what is your opinion about that? I'm not one to hide out and store up, but I see it's very common and becoming more commonplace, and just want biblical reference for that. And I'll take David, your answer off the phone on the radio, if you don't mind.
That's good. Thank you, David, for your call. It's a very serious question, a very important question to be asked and to be answered. Yes, there are a lot of people today. In fact, Jimmy Baker, as he's calling himself now, formerly the PTO club leader, got into hot water for schemes that he was promoting back in the 80s, and he is promoting some of the similar schemes today. Let me just do a little footnote on that. I think it's wise for any Christian to be prepared, not prepared for a tribulation. We won't go through it. But let's just say, for example, what we know today with the shortage of food taking place, with the shortages of medications that's on the fast track, there'll come a day that very near, based on the research that I've done, where you won't even be able to buy a bottle of Tylenol off the shelf at your drugstore, because the ingredients for making Tylenol, 99% comes from China. Overwhelming 85% of Tylenol being manufactured in China and shipped to us, because of the thing that's taking place with the famine around the globe. And the scripture says there will be famines and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. All of those things we see as a precursor to the rapture of the church. So if we know those things are going to be taking place and we're entering into the apostasy, the falling away of the Christians today, falling away from the church today, I think it's wise for us to be prepared. I think it's good if you buy a can of soup and you need one now, buy two cans. Nothing wrong with having a spare can of soup on your grocery shelf. There's a whole lot wrong with, David, with the person that believes that we're going to go through the tribulation. And as a result of that, you've got to store up years and years and years and years of groceries and preparation and spare gasoline and spare propane and having a cottage up in the mountains where you can hide out from the Antichrist. There's not one thing that says that the Christian will go through that, but I can say this. During the days of the tribulation, according to the Revelation 13 text, you'll not be able to buy, sell, trade. You will not be able to get on a plane and go anyplace. The Antichrist will be able to follow every step that you take, everything that you do, and without the mark, that is the identifier, without the mark of the image, that is the 666 spoken of in Revelation chapter 13, verse 17 and 18, unless you have that mark, that identifier, you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade. And the scripture says in Revelation chapter 14 that it's an impossibility for a person to take that mark, that identifier, if he's saved. A Christian cannot survive in the days of the tribulation. Everyone that's ever heard the truth of the gospel now, when the rapture comes, you're in the left in the world, you're lost, and you will not believe the truth of the gospel, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and following in the 2 Thessalonians text. So I believe it is necessary for a Christian to be wise, to be aware, to be planning for the any difficult days that we might have, but not planning for going through the tribulation, because the Christian will not. The scripture is very, very clear in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 10. The scripture says, in the scripture, I also, God speaking, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That is literally talking about earth dwellers, those that are lost, those that are without Christ. So simply put, no, I'm against any of this rat packing and you hold on to something because you're going through the tribulation. There are some of them out there that's selling some kind of little phone system so that you can have connection between you and your neighbors, so you and your family, so that Christians can hide out from the Antichrist. There'll be no hiding from the Antichrist, according to the scripture, chronologically speaking, eschatologically speaking, no hiding. He will know where you are, what you're doing. Not because the Antichrist is omniscient or omnipresent, it's because he is empowered by Satan, according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and 3. The power that he has is from Satan himself. And we are setting in place today all the mechanisms, technologically speaking, all the mechanisms for the Antichrist to control the whole world. So, David, you're exactly right. I'm in agreement with you. When you look at the totality of the scripture, there's nothing that says that we need to plan and prepare for the tribulation, as it is called in the scripture. So we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, will the Christian go through the tribulation? Dalton Thomas and his sidekick, Joel Richardson, both of them saying that if you believe that the Christian will be raptured out, that there's something wrong. Pastor Davis and I are here. We're going to answer your questions in relationship to what you have. I'd love to hear from you. Do you believe that Christians go through the tribulation? If so, why? Tell me the scripture, scriptural text that validates your position on that and what you believe.
And ladies, then, Dr. Youngblood, let me just say to what you just told the young man, and I was so glad I was listening intently to that, and I knew you had the right answer for him, and I hope and pray that he took that in.
Amen.
But Romans 15 and 4 say that all things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, God gave us this information in the scriptures so that we can prepare, because he told us about the times of the end, when the Antichrist would come, and who, how he would come, what manner he would come, what to look for even before he gets here. So if he didn't want us to prepare, Dr. Youngblood, I don't think he would have put that in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Again, now, if we go back to 2 Timothy, and that's 3:15, he says, study, carry the idea of preparation.
2:15, but go ahead.
2:15, yeah, 2:15, yeah. Amen. So it carries, yeah, I just read it. Yeah. It carries the idea of preparation. So now, okay, if we're not going to prepare, and I don't think that's something that the Lord would want us to do, not prepare. Mm-hmm. He said that we should not sleep as those who sleep in the night and not be drunken as those who are drunken in the night. In the same book, 1 Thessalonians.
That's right.
All right. So that day would not overtake us as it does others who are not prepared. Mm-hmm. So all of this is telling me right here, amen, that he wants us to prepare ourselves,
but
he doesn't want us to do it in fear.
Yeah, that preparation that you're speaking of there, and we find several times, is preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of that preparation is to know the Word, study the Word, hide the Word in our heart, and that we might not sin against him. That preparation is to be prepared spiritually, and it doesn't have any connotation that says we ought not to have a can of soup on the shelf, but the preparation primarily speaking of being prepared spiritually that we might know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And it goes back to Matthew chapter 25, the first 14 verses in Matthew 25. It's the left page, left column in my Bible, where you got the 10 virgins. Five are foolish and five are wise. Five were prepared. They had oil in their lamp, indicative of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Five did not have oil in their lamps. They were not prepared when Jesus Christ, the Savior, when he returns, they are then cast into outer darkness. That is, they're lost because they were not prepared.
Amen.
So, yes,
amen.
We need to be prepared. We need to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say to you in the about this Dalton Thomas and Joel Richardson and their false teachings. They claim that they claim they go through the scripture word by word in their teaching of the Bible, yet it appears that they have no concept of chronology. They have no concept of prophetic events, chronologically speaking, in the Bible. One of the main biblical doctrines that Dalton and Richardson reject is the rapture of the church. So here's their beliefs in basically three or four major points, serious points. I'm going to just simply surface it. Number one, they believe there's no such thing as the rapture of the church. They believe that there's no such thing. They claim that if you believe in the rapture of the church, that you believe that Jesus is coming back twice. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not so. Time won't allow us to go into the reading of the text, but mark it in your Bible. Make a note at your leisure study. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. There was a problem with the believers at Thessalonica that did not know. They were wondering. They were in quandary. What's going to happen to our loved one that's already gone? What's going to take place? Where did they go? What's happened to them? And Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, as those that do not know Christ. I'm paraphrasing a portion of that. Paul then goes into detail of what's going to happen. There's the shout, there's the sound, there's the sudden seizure, the snatching away. And now those that say there's not any such thing as the rapture of the church, the word rapture, ladies and gentlemen, is not in the scripture. It is the Latin word rapturus. We get our word, English word rapture. That word rapturus simply means the sudden snatching away, the sudden removal. So there's coming a day, and it is imminent. It could happen at any moment. There are no signs in the Scripture that tell us that tomorrow at noontime, rapture is going to come. No signs or no evidence in the Scripture that nothing else needs to be fulfilled prophetically before the rapture of the church could take place. The rapture of the church is what we believe is imminent. It is the pre-tribulational view that we will be raptured out before the tribulation. But these two false, phony dudes, if I can call them that, they're saying there's no such thing as the rapture. They say that the believer will suffer God's wrath for the 7 years of tribulation. Now, the tribulation takes place immediately following the rapture of the church. Immediately following the rapture of the church, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the lawless one, steps on the scene. He controls the whole wide world. He is in the world today, in my most humble opinion. He doesn't know who he is himself, in my most humble opinion, but he's the one that Satan will use that will empower to rule the world with an iron fist. He is the Antichrist. Following the rapture of the church, the Antichrist steps on the scene. The tribulation sets in. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible talks about it in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, and it is spoken of as that which will take place with my people. It's talking about the Jewish people, ladies and gentlemen. This is the reason you find 7 years spoken of as 3.5 and 3.5, the tribulation and then the great tribulation. It intensifies as the years come and go for that 7 years that is called the tribulation time. Again, spoken of in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, left page, left column, beginning at the top of the page in my Bible, ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't help you any, I'm sure, but I just want you to know that I'm very familiar with the text. but the rapture of the church will take place, then the 7 years of tribulation, first 3.5 years, and you find this in my book, The Panorama of Prophecy. And for each caller today, if you'd like to have the book, leave your name and address with AJ as you call in, and let him jot it down so that we can ship you the book. It is The Panorama of Prophecy. It's about 160 pages in the book. And it covers things, the panorama of the rapture detailed, the period of the ruin described, the program of the ruin detailed, the powerful return of Christ depicted, the peaceful reign of Christ displayed, and the pictorial rule of Christ determined. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, not because I've written it, but it's nothing that is my thoughts, my feelings, my philosophies. It is detailed based on the authority of the Scripture, verse after verse after verse in this book that I believe will be a companion along with your Bible to study the Scripture. We use the Scripture references in the book so that you can open your Bible and do your Bible study and get the facts correct and not depend on people like Dalton Thomas that is a false teacher and Joel Richardson, his sidekick. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the major problems with those two, especially with Dalton Thomas, he's a smooth speaker. He is a communicator. He can place it so that it sounds that he really knows what he's talking about. And I can tell you from looking, reviewing behind what he said and what he's doing, he is a false teacher, does not know biblically, theologically, doctrinally what he's talking about at all. And ladies and gentlemen, the third thing, it says the Lord Jesus Christ returns to take the believers to heaven with him. Now listen very carefully. Pastor, I want you to interact with this. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Pastor Davis with us. Pastor Davis is a doctoral student at Conservative Theological University, and he, as I, enjoy the studying of the Scripture and the opportunity to have dialogue and discussion about the Scripture. But Pastor Davis, if the rapture of the church is not until the end of the tribulation, let's get this straight based on these false theologians, these false teachers, not theologians, they're certainly not that. But that means based on their theology, their position, their persuasion, at the end of the tribulation, this Christian's got to go through 7 years of the wrath of God, and at the end of the tribulation, we'll be suddenly snatched out of this world, we'll be in heaven because we're going to return with the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through verse 16. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, and Pastor Davis, I want you to have dialogue and discussion with me on this. The Scripture says that after the church is raptured out, that we, every Christian, will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in what is called the Bema Seat Judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll give an account for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or bad. The Scripture says in the King James, good or evil. That word evil is the word poneros, means bad, worthless. So, ladies and gentlemen, the judgment seat of Christ is where every believer will stand, not to determine if we're saved or not. We'll be in heaven. We'll be raptured out because we are saved. But the reason for the judgment seat of Christ is to examine what we've done after salvation, whether it meets the requirement biblically to receive rewards. Five different rewards will be offered and honored through the Lord Jesus Christ based on what we've done in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 9, 10, 11 also covers the same thing, that we're going to give an account for every deed done in the body. So, Pastor Davis, if that is the case, if we are in heaven, if we are facing Jesus in the Bema Seat Judgment, where does that place if there's no rapture? What happens if there's no rapture? How does that take place? Or will it take? Is it negating that also? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thing on that, Dr. Youngblood, through all the study of Scripture that I have done, if I can put it in just simple terms,
yes,
and maybe not have to pull so much Scripture from everywhere to make it sound confusing,
mm-hmm,
but if the church is the bride of Christ,
that's right,
and the church is going to have to go through the tribulation, like this young man said in his study,
mm-hmm,
then when the church gets to heaven, Christ is going to have a beat up wife.
That's right.
Tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think that Christ himself, being the Son of God, is going to have to ask his Father not to allow or not to beat up on his wife,
mm-hmm,
because tribulation is when the wrath of God is going to be poured out.
Right.
So that means if the church is here, God is going to beat up his Son's wife.
That's right.
So when we get to heaven, and it's going to be after the tribulation, how would that make him feel, being the Son of God, if his dad beat up his wife?
That's right. In fact, it's a good question that you asked there, because we have to ask the question, what is the tribulation for? It is the wrath, the thumos, the white hot anger of God. So the question is, Pastor, is God angry with the church?
Amen.
Is God angry with the bride of Christ?
Now I have a verse of scripture for that.
Yes.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 9 says, yes. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One verse.
That's right.
Right there, that clears all of that up.
Well,
if that tells us he's not appointed us.
If we didn't have any other verse in the scripture, that clears it up. That validates.
Amen.
So the second thing is, Pastor, if we're going to face the Lord Jesus in the Bema Seat judgment, and the Bible says we are, again, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, found in Romans chapter 14, verse 9, 10, 11. If that is the case, then it is. So I'm not asking if as a question, but it's better stated since that's the case. And secondly, and in the same vein of that, we're going to be seated around the table with the Lord Jesus Christ in what is called the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, 8, and 9 records that. It's a very, very, very little mention in the scripture about that, other than that being a fact. We'll celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is the consummation of bride and bridegroom, marriage supper of the Lamb with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that will be in heaven, won't be on earth. So how do we get there to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb if there's no rapture of the church? Because immediately following the marriage supper of the Lamb, according to Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, we will return with the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth.
Amen.
And he will establish his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And the scripture says that we'll rule and reign with him. So if there's no rapture, how do we get to heaven to have the Bema Seat judgment, that is the judgment seat of Christ? How do we have the marriage supper of the Lamb? Those two things will be taking place in heaven with the Christian while the wrath of God is being poured out here on a Christ-hating, Bible-denying, Christ-rejecting, God-hating world. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. God's not angry with the church. God's not angry with the bride of Christ. There's no wrath to be poured out. When Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago with his arms outstretched and screamed to Telestai, it is finished. The work of salvation is done, because the wrath of God, because of the sin of man, the wrath of God was poured out on God's Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. God is not angry with his church. There's no wrath to be poured out on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In fact,
amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to just read, Pastor, two or three verses that validates what will happen in the tribulation and what the tribulation is about. The word tribulation is the word thlipsis, which literally means affliction, trouble, distress, pressure, pain, suffering. The Christian's not going through the pressure, pain, and suffering as some think. And these false teachers confuse difficulties that we go through and call it the tribulation. For example, in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, the scripture says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And these false teachers use that, saying that we must go through much tribulation to go to heaven. That word tribulation, based on context and based on chronological order, we find can mean simply pressure, pain, problems, and difficulties. Right now, we, you and I, and every Christian listening, we go through pain and problem and difficulties and pressures every day.
Amen.
Every day. And when you go to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, talking about the seven churches that the Lord Jesus Christ is writing to, it talks about those that overcome. Those that overcome, the overcomers are spoken of two or three times in the seven churches of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We are the overcomers. We don't sit down. We don't fall down. We don't stumble and not get up. We continue to get up. When we're knocked down, we continue to keep on keeping on. When it's difficult, we continue to praise the Lord and recognize God's hand in our lives as we serve him. That's going through the pain, the problems, the difficulties. It's called persecution in the Acts chapter 14, verse 22. And by the way, they're plucking that one verse out of the total unit of thought of what Paul has gone through and preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul was going through pain and difficulties and problems and pressures just preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, when you get to what is the tribulation, Mark 13:19, Matthew 14:21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Jeremiah 30:7 says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it." Daniel 12:1, "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to this same time." And it's speaking to the children of Israel, the Jewish people in the text, Joel 2:2, "A day," talking about tribulation, "a day of darkness and gloominess, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it." So, ladies and gentlemen, what is the tribulation for? Is the 7 years, according to Daniel 9:24-27, the 7 years when God's going to pour out his wrath upon, that is his thumos, his white hot anger, upon a world that has rejected his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Davis, turn in your Bible quickly, if you will. Isaiah 26:21, it describes that day of tribulation very succinctly. Isaiah 26:21. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Dalton Thomas and Joel Richardson and many, many others like them that are the false teachers that are promulgating false theology. They've not had any theological doctrinal training, but supposedly they know it all. And they're saying that the Christian will go through the tribulation, and that is simply not true. It is simply false teaching. It is simply a theological misnomer, because the wrath of God will not be poured out upon the child of God. Read that verse for us.
Amen. Isaiah 26:21. "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain."
Yes. Pastor, that text is succinctly saying that when the Lord pours out his wrath, it is to pour out his judgment upon a world that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. The church, the Christian, the child of God, will not be in that number. The rapture of the church is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. The believer's judgment, Bema Seat judgment, is in 2 Corinthians 5:10-11, Romans 14:11-12. The believer at the marriage supper of the Lamb is Revelation 19:7-9. And ladies and gentlemen, immediately after the marriage supper of the Lamb, we, you and I, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ, we're raptured out. We're judged for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or bad. We're awarded crowns, and there are 5 different crowns that's talked about in the Scripture. We'll be awarded one or more of those crowns. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be seated around the table with the Lord Jesus Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then, glory, praise God, we're going to return with him in great victory and valiance. When Jesus Christ returns, we'll be with him. But we will not have gone through any day of the 7 years of tribulation.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful that you joined us today. We pray that this has been a blessing to you. We pray that you've used a sharp pencil to make some notes so that it could be an encouragement to you. We're looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.